On more than one occasion, people have come up to me after a service and said, "Pastor, I think that sermon was directed at me." And I usually think, "No, is that the other person?" Kidding. But when I do hear statements like that, my initial response is to think, good, because that means the Word of God is at work. In other words, the Holy Spirit is using His Word to engage sinners, to show them their sins, to drive them to repentance and faith in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of those sins. Now, how the Holy Spirit does this really is outside the hands of the pastor. The called and ordained servant of God is to preach the word of truth, but let God work among His people with that word as He sees fit. So, sometimes when the law of God is preached, one person might feel nothing while the next person feels convicted, guilty, exposed as if his or her crimes had been read in a public court. God, through His Word, works in a variety of ways on a variety of sinners. And so, if ever after hearing the Word of God you feel as if it was directed at you, I say wonderful, because it means God's Word is doing its work, showing sins, driving you to repentance, and most importantly, friends, showing you the great Savior you have and our Lord Jesus who died to redeem you from all of your sins. Now, usually in a sermon text, a specific sin is mentioned. It's clear and we see it, but it may not be a sin that everyone struggles with. For example, if in a sermon text drunkenness is being mentioned, and that is a vice that you have wrestled with in the past, and you will probably be a little extra sensitive to this word of God declaring drunkenness one of those sins capable of keeping someone out of the kingdom of heaven. Yet if you've never wrestled with that vice and or don't even like the taste of alcoholic beverages, then such a word will probably have little effect. A thundering sermon raging against drunkenness will probably hit those who have never wrestled with that vice not quite as much. But in today's reading from Galatians, friends, there is no confusion and there is no escape. Here before us is a word of God that none of us can walk away from thinking that they have escaped the conviction of God's mighty law. Here is a text from which none of us can leave here and think, ugh, those sins don't apply to me. Paul gives a lengthy list of sins that he calls works of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, and more. And he says this to warn Christians that anyone who gets into the habit of practicing these sins are not heirs to the kingdom of God, because these works of the flesh, they are contrary to the Spirit. Now, by this point in Paul's letter to the Galatians, he has made it abundantly clear that you have been called to freedom in Christ, apart from the law, meaning you are free from sin's curse and condemnation by what? By faith in Christ. A central point in this epistle. However, as you know, living out this freedom is hard. And the warning we're given is, don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. In other words, Christian, don't use the freedom that Christ died to give you as an excuse to sin. The gospel, it's a gift, and it's precious and sounds too good to be true. Nonetheless, friends, the gospel is not an excuse to sin until your heart is content. It is not a license for us to sin until thinking that the more we sin, the more grace abounds. Rather, the gospel frees and enables us to serve and work without a burdened conscience. You are free to love your neighbor. You are free to be compassionate, kind, and to do works of mercy for those in need. And you can do these things, Christian, cheerfully and enjoy knowing that you do them for the sake of your neighbor who needs your works, not for your salvation from God. Why? Because that has been taken care of in full by our Savior, Jesus. Living out the gospel. Letting your light shine before others. It is what we have been called to do. But how difficult that is. It's difficult because the Christian life is anything but easy. Rather, it is a life of struggle, a life of battles. Christians wrestle with all sorts of sin. Have you ever wondered why it is that when you walk out of church, you find yourself battling the very same temptation that Scripture warns against? Why is it you find yourself desiring to do the right thing, but you end up doing the wrong thing? Why is it, even after years of being in the church, mature Christians, you've heard the Word of God, you've received the sacrament a multitude of times, however, you still find yourself battling sin and temptation that is powerful, and despite your best efforts, they just don't go away? Paul gives us an answer to that. In verse 17, we find, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit." The desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. "For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." You have been called to freedom. Freedom in Christ. But we are still of the flesh. And we still struggle from sin and all of its symptoms. And let me be clear. When Paul uses the word flesh here, friends, he is talking about our sinful nature. Our nature corrupted by sin, or as Luther would say, the old Adam, the old man, the old creation. In Christ, you are a new creation, righteous, holy before God, free from sin's curse and condemnation for the sake of Jesus, who died to justify and sanctify you. But at the same time, the old Adam, that old sinful creation who despises God and His Word, the old man hangs around our neck. The flesh pulls us in directions away from God's Word, His mercy, and His grace, away from freedom in order to plunge us into bondage and despair. And so all of it makes for a difficult Christian life. And the temptations of the flesh, they're powerful. And they never cease trying to drag us out of God's kingdom and into the pits of hell. However, let me say this. This conflict, this struggle, this fight within our bodies between flesh and spirit, in some ways is a good thing. Why? Well, I began the sermon talking about how it is good when God's law hits you, His Word, and you feel convicted by it because that means God's Word is doing its work. The same thing goes with our struggles in the body, this struggle against sin. The very conflict itself, Christian, shows us that not only do sin and temptation exist, but the very fact that you are battling it and fighting against it makes it known that you are aware of this sin, and that you seek to be rid of this flesh that is raging within you. The very fact that there is a conflict means that you possess the Spirit. You possess faith by the grace of God, a far cry from living dead in your sins and trespasses without awareness and without caring about your sin. Walking by the Spirit, Christian, what that means is being led by the Spirit of God while also being aware of and despising that flesh that rages within you. Now, I didn't make any of that up, but Luther was a man who was certainly accustomed to affliction and battling and struggling. And if you ever read his writings, he never refrains from talking about his struggle with the flesh and the battle against sin and temptation. As I was reading his commentary on Galatians in preparation for this sermon, I came across some words from Luther that I thought were very interesting, talking about this battle. I want to read them to you. This is what Luther says. He says, quote, It is very beneficial if we sometimes become aware of the evil of our nature and our flesh, because in this way we are aroused and stirred up to have faith and to call upon Christ. The godlier one is, the more aware he is of the conflict. The godlier, the more godlier one is, the more aware he is of the conflict. Thus says Luther. Interesting. We struggle with sin, Christian. Indeed, there is a conflict, and it will last until our Lord calls us home to be with himself. Sin is like a disease infecting our bodies, and it will be there until our Lord finally calls us from this valley of sorrow to be with himself in heaven. But enough with the diagnosis. What about the solution? God has not left you alone in your troubles. And don't think God has not given you help in your time of need. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to your passions and your desires that assail us, when it comes to that flesh that rages against the Spirit, all of it finds its end in the crucifixion of Jesus. On Good Friday, you see, Jesus died to put to death all of your sinful passions, all of your sinful lust, because your flesh has been crucified in Christ. What this means is, in the suffering and death of Jesus, all the sins of the flesh have been atoned for by his holy precious blood. And now, therefore, though you are plagued by these sins of the flesh, you are still alive to God by faith in Jesus. And your sin, your flesh, your old Adam cannot condemn you and separate you from God. Faith grabs hold of Jesus. Faith grabs hold of Jesus, and this means your sins, Christian, your temptations have been crucified in his crucifixion. Sin and death destroyed by the one who died to redeem you. This promise, this glorious promise, is given to you in the waters of holy baptism. And I bring up baptism because everyone who has been baptized lived as one who is baptized. Present tense. This means you are living as one who is daily being washed, constantly drowning the old Adam, the flesh, so that a new man, a new creation, can live in righteousness before God by faith in our crucified Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christian, this promise is for you every day. By living in your baptism by faith, you are living in a constant washing, a constant drowning, and a constant resurrection, walking as a new man, a new creation, alive to God in Jesus Christ. This is where fruit of the Spirit blossom from. This is why you can have love, joy, peace, and kindness, those fruits of the Spirit that Paul mentions. This is how you are a good tree bearing good fruit, by living in Jesus. So to conclude, the next time you find yourself battling a trial or tribulation, Christian, when you leave here and you feel as if the ragings of the flesh are getting the upper hand, recall the promise that God has made you, and that is, you have been redeemed. In other words, purchased from sin, death, and the power of the devil on account of the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. So walk in the Spirit. Walk in the faith by the grace of God, and you will end up exactly where God says, in eternal life with him, where the sins of the flesh will finally be no more. Amen. And may the grace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.